Morning, church.
Morning.
I just want to thank the senior pastors for this opportunity to share. And I want to thank God more especially. And I also want to thank you for coming today, family. You're all looking well. And just about what happened with Aaron, I just want to say I'm feeling a little bit guilty because when we came in this morning, I was still sitting in the ute and he's walked past. He said, I just feel a little bit light. I'm going to sit in the car. And that moment, I should have said, let's pray. Pastor's been talking about prayer. We must take the opportunity. Let us not let it slip by. And anyway, thank God he's with the ambulance and we've prayed. So we know it's going to be a good outcome. Amen? All right. I need some spectacles on nose, Pastor. The eyes are not that young anymore. Amen. Okay, so as Pastor was saying, we're doing the lifestyle of prayer. So it's prayer series. And then I'll just open up with that scripture that is the scripture for the series. Matthew 6:6, please. But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Amen? So, the word, as you know, when Jesus went out to get his disciples, he just saw his disciples, Peter and Andrew, and he said, follow me. They never even batted an eyelid or anything. They just followed. And then he saw the next set, the sons of Zebedee, which was James and John, and they also just followed. So the word disciple is derived from discipline. And discipline, the word carries a lot of weight and responsibility. We all know that. And it needs training that produces obedience, number one. Now, this word obedience is very hard. As we know, even myself, I'm guilty. We're on the road, there's rules. We need to obey. We play sports, there's a referee, an umpire, to make sure we do the right thing. So, as a disciple, we need to train ourselves in this way, obedience. The second one is self-control. This is another, it's part of the fruit of the Spirit. Especially when it comes to people. Somebody could just rub you the wrong way or offend you. How do we control ourselves? You know, just on the spur of the moment. But being a disciple, we need to be able to handle the situation. This is what Jesus is showing us by the word disciple. And the last one is orderly conduct. It's very similar, orderly conduct, where we are able to control ourselves and carry ourselves in such a manner that those who see will see God through you and glorify the Father in heaven. You see your good works. So if you are my disciples, then you will bear much fruit. Your lifestyle, your testimony, it's very important. That people will be able to see, and then you will bear much fruit. But the question is this, did Jesus choose us, or did we choose him? You know, and this is, I think Pastor shared the scripture also. Revelations 3:20, behold, now behold is getting our attention. You know, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody hear my voice and he opens the door, then I will come in and dine with him and him with me. But you see, when Jesus is knocking, he's not like on the beach, you know, just relaxing and knocking. No. He's doing it in such a way that he wants to see, he's excited, and he's calling at the same time. Alencia. He's calling, Kim. And are we listening to that voice that is calling us? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice. And so we know that Jesus is seated on the right hand of the Father. So in Ephesians, again, 3:20, he says, to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above that we could ask or think or ever imagine, according to the power that works in us. Now, you see that last part of the scripture. We have power, my brother and sister. We just prayed with our brother. We got power to lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. You got power to touch the blind, to raise the dead. We got to believe it. We got to know that God is giving us his power. But the thing is, the enemy will try and put a wedge to make you doubt. He'll try and get in the way. So all we need to do is to be in constant communion, talking to the Lord, praying to the Lord our God. Right? Now the Father knows what we have need of even before we ask. But the thing is, we do not receive because we do not ask. We need to ask. And then the word says, ask and it will be given to you. Knock and the door will be open. Seek and you will find. So what are we doing? We are asking the Lord for this power of the Holy Spirit to be alive, to be active in us. He says, ask, but we are doubtful. We are fearful. And in Ephesians 6, it tells us about we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. When we're on our knees, my brother and sister, we're not fighting with people that we need to use. No, this is spiritual. But we are wrestling against principalities, which is, principalities is fallen angels. These are powers, rulers of darkness of this age. Now, how do you like that? How long has Jesus come to the earth? And how long has the Bible been written? So for each age, the rulers of darkness are changing. So according to this age, it's more powerful ones that just knows how to distract our youth. Even us, they're there. They got an assignment. We are wrestling against spiritual host of wickedness in high places. So what do we need to do? We need to go higher than them. To the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's on the throne. Why should we fear when we know we got a mediator that has paid the price ultimately? So we need to cover our loved ones, our children, our youth, our friends, our families, church family, and ourselves. Daily. This is talking to God constantly. This is how important prayer is. So we need that intimacy. What are we asking for? We need to let God know about our inner thoughts. We can't hide anything from the Lord. Whatever it is, secrets, whatever it is, God knows. But we need to speak to Him. We need to spend time with the Lord. If you have met, let's just say, in your young days and you are starting to court a young lady, you want to be with her all the time. So we need to be in that same kind of relationship with the Lord, constantly wanting to be with Him, talking to Him. And we've got to give Him our attention. You know, let me hear what's going on. So that's where, we get distracted so easy. And the next one is internal. What do you know about internal? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We always, something pulling us like a magnet. But there's a still small voice that's saying, no, no, don't go that way. Follow this way. So the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we got to listen to that still more small voice. And Pastor just spoke about persistence. We got to persist. Keep asking. Don't give up. The old lady, we heard about that story. She kept going to that judge and he must have said, I know, I've had enough. Let me just give her what she wants. And God will do the same if we keep asking in prayer. And the last one is the inner part. It's not what goes in. It's what comes out. Because it doesn't matter I look all nice and dressed up, but inside, there's a lot going on. Anger, you know, jealousy, strife, all that. You got to make sure we're putting on the Holy Spirit, asking God for that power to endure this walk. And so this is where prayer comes in. God says, ask. Don't stop asking. I'll give you what you want. Amen? All right, let's go to the next one, which is our relationship with God. And we got Ruth. The book of Ruth. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you, for wherever you go, I will go. And this is trust. To say to somebody, wherever you go, I will go. Are we trusting God with our family, with our finances, with our marriages, with our relationships? We can put our trust in God. And Ruth has showed us how she said to her mother-in-law, where you go, I will go. All right? And your people will be my people. How hard is that? Devotion, complete. It's coming from another place. Are we able to say to God, your people will be my people? I remember in the young days, I grew up Roman Catholic. And the priests used to come, like from America, Ireland. When they come over to South Africa, that's it. They're no more going back. They're going to die and everything ends up there. Because they've given their lives, devoted everything for the cause. It's amazing. It's not easy to do. Say goodbye to everything else and look forward. Devotion, complete devotion. And where you die, I will die. Can we say that? To the Lord. We want to spend, that's eternal. We want to spend eternity with Him forever and ever and ever. We want to be with the Lord. This is the relationship we need to build. And we see in Matthew, I think it's 26, Yeah, from 36 to 44. This was just about the hour before Jesus could get betrayed. And he went with his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. We know. When they entered into the garden, he said to some of the disciples, stay here. And then he took Peter. He always took Peter, James, and John. You see how important it is to have prayer partners. People you can really support each other in time of trial. And when he left them, Peter, James, and John, remember, first he said to the disciples, you all stay here. Then Peter, James, and John, come with me a little further. You all stay here. Then he went a little further, fell on his face, and cried to the Lord, God, Father, if you can, take this cup. You see, he knew already the price he's going to pay for our sins on that cross. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. You see, you might be asking God for something. You could be, how earnest are you in asking God for this thing? But at the end of it, are we able to say, nevertheless, not my will, but your will? Ultimately, he's God. He knows everything before you could even ask it. And after a while, after Jesus was praying, because they said even droplets of blood came out from his forehead. That's how earnest he was praying. Came back to the disciples. Guess what? Found them sleeping. My brother and sister, sometimes when we read the word of God, when we pray, we find that heaviness. Something is like over us. But yet, it's a time of desperation. We need to be seeking the Lord. So Jesus went back again to pray. Prayed, came back. Oh, again, sleeping. He's like, watch and pray, lest you fall into temptation. You see, that's when temptation comes. Because as you're laying your head there now, other dreams are coming in, giving you other ideas. But whereas it was a time of prayer, pressing in. And that's what happened with the disciples. So my brother and sister, what's going on around us right now in this world, we all know. There's turmoil, wars, rumors of wars, everything is going on. We should be on our knees. But that heaviness is going to try and hold you back. Press in. Let us trust the Lord to bring us through this situation, what's going on right now. So let's redeem the times. And let's work on our relationship with the Lord. And let's rejoice. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. When we give the enemy the upper hand, we're going to be down. The fuel is up. Or the interest rate is going up. Everything is going up in the economy. But yet, if we put on the Lord, it's telling us the Lord is coming soon for us, brothers and sisters. Let us be prepared for that situation. It's going to happen. But he gives us wisdom and the favor. Thank God we have favor. Sometimes they just look at us, the foreman, and it's just, all right, do what you think is best. But it's like, wow, how did this happen? Meanwhile, it's not him. The Lord is on our side. Amen? Let's give the Lord a hand, brothers and sisters. All right, let's go to the next one. The next one is Romans 8:32, which is our confidence in God. Right? Now, if God be for us, who can be against us? Right? So he did not spare his only son, but delivered him up for us. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You see how close it is. He did not spare his son. He delivered him up for us. So how will he not through him give us all things freely that we ask for? And I'll give you a small testimony, my brother and sister, if you've got some time there. We see in the early 90s, things were a bit bad, like work-wise. And where I lived was a little bit rural. There's not many companies around. And I met a guy that said, I'm working in the city on an oil refinery. How ironic at this time, there's so much going on for oil and fuel and that. But it was in those years, Charles, this was an oil refinery. So the guy said to me, it's about an hour's drive, come with us in the morning. And then in those years, no CVs and emails and that. You had to physically go there, see the people that's hiring. So I went to these guys. I'm pretty sure I was fasting for those days. Got there. They go into the gate, go work. Whole day, nobody turns up. This happened for about 3 days. On the third day, I'm there. This guy that took me said, stay with this other guy. He knows about all this. And then the news came out because it's about 3 gates. It's a big Clive engine oil refinery in Durban. And they said, the boss is not coming out of this gate. He's coming out of the main gate. So, like rats, we ran to the cars, jumped in, drove there. When we come there, we just turned around because there's a road going this way. There's an island and there's another road. So the parking, no parking. We parked on the other side of the road on the pavement. And the main gate, there's like hundreds of guys. And the boss came out, this guy. And somehow he got out of their grip. He just came out. He had in his hand, ID books. So this is how you get hired. You give them your ID. 10 pipe fitters and he needed 10 welders. I'm a welder. So he comes running out. He's got 10 pipe fitters. He needs one more ID for a welder. But the guy, my friend, said, stay with this guy. He was older than me. So as this boss ended up, I asked, you can't believe from out of the gate across the road, right in front of us, I need one more ID. And I said to this older guy, all right, you give yours. Guess what? He feels no ID. Before he could even finish, my one was in your hand. Boom. He said, that's it. No more. That's how God works. Exactly. The timing was perfect. I worked there for a year on a good job, paying good money. Because everything, I was praying. I remember laying in like a little ditch there because the whole day I'm waiting for them. So this is how the Lord works when we pray and trust the Lord. So who can bring a charge against us? Because the Lord, it is he that justifies. Who condemns? It is Christ who died and rose again and is seated on the right hand. So who or what can separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution? No, none of these can separate us from the love of God. Amen? And I'll just jump to the next one quickly before, time is gone. So this one reminds us about watch and pray. So God has made us stewards over everything here on earth. The fish, the birds, the animals, and life in general. Whichever way we choose, God is giving us freedom to choose. But he said, keep busy until I come. And we see that there's people getting married. People are getting married. People are buying houses, building houses, buying farms. But we need to remember that Jesus is coming soon. Through all this, keep busy. But know, when he comes, we are ready. Our relationship with God will sustain us. Prayer brings on. We got to be in prayer being on guard, because no one knows the hour when Christ will return. Only the Father, right? So the Master could come at any time. He could come in the evening and then find us watching our favorite TV program and relaxing. Or could we be just doing something of an activity, you know, that glorifies the Father? Amen? And then he could come at midnight. But what's happening? Oh, yeah, sorry, man, I'll invite the band. Sorry, ladies. He could come at midnight. And what's happening at midnight? It is the time of temptation. Because we are, instead of getting up to pray, I mean, it's winter time now. We want to be in the warm bed. But this is what God's expecting. We need to watch and pray, redeeming the times. Or it could come at the crowing of the rooster, 3 a.m. in the morning, when the sleep is best. We just about, oh, it's another snore. But that's a time to call on the Lord. Or it could come in the morning when we arise. But are we grateful? Are we thankful for this new day that he's blessed us with? Eh? He just wants us to be thankful, to be in communication with him all the time. So our lives are about a relationship and prayer with the Lord. Amen? Amen. I'll leave it there. Let's give the Lord a hand. Okay. I'll just do a small invitation for those who haven't received the Lord. We just close our eyes, please, and repeat after me. Lord Jesus, thank you for paying the price for my sin on the cross. Please forgive me. Come into my life. I want you to be my King and my Lord. Amen. With every eye closed, if everybody has said that prayer for the first time or wants to give their heart to the Lord and have a relationship with him, I'll just ask you to slip up your hands quickly while every eye is closed. Amen. Okay, no, that's fine. If anybody else needs prayer for anything, maybe your prayer life is a bit low, whatever the situation, we'll open the altar after this and you can come up for prayer. I'll just pray quickly. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your life and what you've done for us. And as we leave this place today, Lord, may we remember that we could put our trust and our hope in you in every situation that we are faced with, for good times and bad times, Lord. We need you more than ever before. And everybody said, amen and amen. Thanks, Pastor.
Please put your hands together for Pastor Donovan. May we rise to our feet this morning.